Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is great to be with you on this Tuesday. I am looking forward. I don't care what the weather. Cody just talked about the weather forecast for tomorrow. I am really looking forward to being at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club tomorrow to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. The great job that Bonnie Wassmer and the entire crew, what they do, and on just a great layout, a great track. Looking forward to it.
I figure the rain can't affect my game at all, so it shouldn't. It might actually help it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, whatever you say.
It might. You never know.
No, you're right. I never know with your game.
Hey, listen, I dug up some of the comments. We talked last hour about Mike Ditka, where I was this weekend. He was being honored by the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters, and I actually had an opportunity to get some of the comments that he made at the awards dinner Sunday night. One of the things I do want to mention is, I didn't realize this. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't think about it. He was actually an Eagle for one time and actually commented about it a little bit.
You know that thing about going to Philadelphia for 2 years. A lot of you people didn't know that, but don't feel bad. People in Philadelphia for 2 years didn't know I was there either. Talk about bad.
But as you recall, last hour we were talking about his comments on being an analyst and, critiquing, and here were those comments.
Now, being an analyst doesn't mean you have to be critical about everything. Analyst is supposed to be, you're supposed to analyze what's going on and why it's going on. I watch some of it right now, and I'm not sure I really understand everything. You people are in the media, so you probably understand it more than I do. But it's kind of interesting. My job is try to tell people or enlighten people to what's going on the football field. I think I know a little bit about it, not everything. And I don't think I have to give you every technical term in the world to make you understand what's going on. But we have a lot of people in our industry that sounds good, and evidently some of the bosses must think that sounds good too, so what the hell they do it.
But I agree with him. I think there's a lot of people, especially in the analyst chair of a play-by-play event, or doing play-by-play and color commentary, that are overly technical. And it kind of alienates the average fan.
Well, okay. Let me tell you one of the, it's a plus and it's a minus in this industry. It's a plus and a minus in this industry. And that would happen to be media critics. That it's their job to write a column about media. We had Steve Sampson on last week. Steve does a really nice job, okay? But it is media critics, and there have been some really good ones over the years. Jack Craig, Boston Globe, the originator. Phil Mushnick works in New York. They do a really good job with it. But they've instilled so much into the mindset of people who read them about not being a homer, not being not being a homer, about being critical, about, you know what I mean? That's been some of the general themes of some of these. Now, some of it is good. I mean, in other words, if somebody's getting a little bit off kilter, off track about what they're doing and how they're going about it, okay. But at the same time, you can also be thrown off, Kevin, quite frankly, when you're starting to think about what the critic writes about you, pro and con, by the way, pro and con, and then you start broadcasting to the critic.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Okay, so there are pros and there are cons to it. There's also overthinking in the industry. You know, that's where consultants come in and things like that. It's overthinking in the industry.
I've never been accused of that.
No, but just be yourself. If it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not, it's not. There's certain things that technically that you can do to fine-tune, be better about, and so forth. But Kurt Smith wrote his book, Voices of the Game. And I just finished his book entitled Mercy. I finished it last night, as a matter of fact. Mercy is the story of 100 years of Fenway Park through the eyes of those who have announced Red Sox games. And at the end of the book, Kurt Smith goes through 10 things. And Kurt Smith, look, he's been on the national stage. He was the speechwriter for George H.W. Bush when he was president. And he references George H.W. Bush in interviews in the book. He also references, he did interviews with Michael Dukakis, who's a huge Red Sox fan, still lives in Brookline. So he would cross each spectrum. And he referenced Ted Kennedy before dying about, you know, throwing out the first pitch. And Kennedy, when Kennedy was dying of cancer, went out through an opening pitch, a ceremonial opening pitch at Fenway Park, and Kennedy called it the thrill of his life. Okay? You know, and that the point of that was telling you what Fenway means to people who live in that area. And he said there are lessons that baseball can learn from Fenway and from what the Red Sox had built. It's not perfect, but the popularity of baseball nationwide is not in the same spectrum as football is right now. Every poll tells you that. One of the areas where baseball connected over the years would be with the voices of the game and why some work in certain areas and some don't. I mean, Peter Angelos got rid of John Miller. And John Miller absolutely worked in the city of Baltimore. He just didn't get it. Because he didn't think that Miller promoted the ball club enough. How about that?
I still don't understand that.
No, but again, it all comes down to personal taste. And and how you personally, you know, feel about somebody. That's what broadcasting comes down to. Is this show, for example, that we're doing right now for everyone? No, because there are people that aren't sports fans or aren't fans of ours or whatever. But there are a whole bunch of people that are sports fans, and there are a whole bunch of people that do enjoy how we go about doing this. Okay, so that's, you know, and that's what you do. You try to talk to your audience. And you try to do it being yourself. Harry Callis and Richie Ashburn worked. And by the way, the very underrated Andy Musser fit Philadelphia like a glove. Would they have worked in Pittsburgh, other side of the state? Probably not. Lenny called from Lock Haven about 45 minutes ago. He is a relative of Rosie Rosewell. Rosie Rosewell was the ultimate homer on the air and was the mentor of Bob Prince. Bob Prince never would have worked in Philadelphia. In fact, after Bob Prince was fired at Westinghouse, he actually did a couple of years with the Astros. It didn't work. His style is not Houston, Texas. Milo Hamilton left the Braves, went to the Pirates, replaced Prince. Now, replacing Prince had something to do with this, but it didn't work. Then he eventually made his way, ironically, to Houston. And Houston loved him. Vin Scully worked perfectly in Brooklyn, the protege of Red Barber.
And Southern California just thinks he is the greatest thing going.
He's pretty good John nationally, Miller. Too.
Well, I know, but you know what? But would he have worked in Pittsburgh?
No.
I'm talking on an every night basis now. Would he have worked in Pittsburgh?
No, because he's very laid back, very relaxed, very deliberate. I don't think it would have. Now, in a game of the week type of thing, yeah. But you're right.
Well, that's national. But that's national. Right. That's wide spectrum, okay? You know, Vince Scully always was great nationally and a wide spectrum. Okay, always. But, you know, Kirk Gowdy was great with the Red Sox and did well nationally. But would he have done well in Pittsburgh? No. Okay? Gary Bender, great announcer, Midwest style. Okay? Very matter of fact, very prepared, very, you know, facts and figures. But could he have worked in certain markets in this country in terms of, no. It's interesting that as we talk about how diversified this country is. And it's amazing that the announcers need to fit the culture of the area. It's very important that the announcer really fit. And you can't force yourself to do that. If you force yourself to do it, you come off as a phony. And it's too hard to sustain over a long period of time. People either naturally like you or they don't. I mean, look, you've been in the Valley. How long have you been in the Valley now? 20 years?
Keep going. 40.
No, but I'm talking about broadcasting.
Oh, broadcasting? 25.
25 years you broadcast in the Valley. You know every in and out in the Valley. You're highly popular in the Valley. Because you have ingrained yourself in the culture. You have ingrained yourself in what makes it tick. You've ingrained yourself in charitable organizations. You've put yourself up front. You've emceed probably every event you can possibly think of, from Milton to Danville to Lewisburg to Sunbury to Sealands Grove to Hummel's Wharf to Williamsport and every other place in between. And you've done so out of the goodness of your heart because you knew it was the right thing to do, but you also wanted to do it. But that's how you get yourself ingrained in a community, where you become a part of the community. See, that's why this radio station was a perfect natural fit for me. You know, I can go other places, but why here? Well, because my philosophy about how to do radio fits exactly with how Roger wants to do radio. And it fits exactly how you want to do radio. The single most important people in the world to us are up and down the Valley. And out, you know, and obviously stretched out here to State College. Those are the most important people in the world to us. You and I are not trying to impress an audience in New York so we can get a job. You and I are not trying to do this show so we can get tapes and go to Chicago or Baltimore or whatever. We want to be a part of this. Okay? These are the people we love to be around. Correct?
No question. That's why I've been here as long as I have been.
Right.
Exactly. That's why the stations in September will be here for 80 years.
Exactly. And we're proud to say that. Yeah. And when you have a family-run operation like this that's ingrained as it is, I mean, we're playing in the golf tournament tomorrow. Now, why are we playing in the golf tournament tomorrow? Because it benefits the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We think that's a great, great cause. That's why we're throwing our heart and souls into it. And that's what has to happen. And that's what happens, quote, with the voices of the game. I mean, it's a book I really would, you know, I'm working, by the way, of getting Kurt Smith on the show, by the way. It's interesting. You could tell he has that political style when he writes. But it's also interesting to read about the regionalization and what regionalization does mean. And that you get used to a certain style in the air. Ned Martin was a fabulous baseball announcer, great baseball announcer, perfect for the Red Sox. But again, I go back to Pittsburgh. Does he work in Pittsburgh? No. Pittsburgh is the community of Bob Prince, of Mike Lang, of Myron Cope.
Yeah, there's no way Myron Cope would have worked anywhere else.
Right, but I'm saying, but that, see, that's what is, okay? Now, in Philadelphia, Philadelphia is the area of Gene Hart, of Merrill Reese, of Bill Campbell. Philadelphia is Harry Callis. It's Whitey Ashburn, Andy Musser. Now today it's Tommy McCarthy, whom I think Tommy does a great job. And Chris Wheeler. And you know how I think the world of Wheels. I mean, that's who they are. They fit their community. Wheels is perfect for Philadelphia. Wonderful. Fran Fischer fit this state. He traveled you name the community he traveled to. Fran Fischer's style fit this state, especially at a time where Penn State football was not on TV every week. They'd be on TV twice in 11 games in the regular season. The other nine, you had to get Fran Fischer and Jim Tarman. Okay? Jack Hamm fits this state perfectly. Dick Girardi fits. I mean, they do a great, great job, all of them. And the people of this state cannot be more appreciative when they talk to you about whatever job you do. I mean, this is a great state to be into broadcasting. Great. I've traveled all over the country. It doesn't get better than here. It doesn't. Coming up on 23 after the hour, our number 1-800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in, like to get your opinions on it. Love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565 on the Hilscher's General Store hotline, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. With so many great deals in bloom, you'll be thinking spring. Like a 2012 Ford Fiesta 5-door hatchback SE. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. The 2011 Hyundai Sonata 4-door GLS 15-257. 2012 Kia Sorento 4-wheel drive LX $69.99. Need a truck without the full-size pickup price? Then a 2009 Nissan Frontier 4-wheel drive crew cab is perfect for you at $29.89. And a 2010 Chrysler Town & Country Wagon Limited. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Okay, yeah.
I love the techno beat.
I'm a techno beat kind of guy. Yeah. Yeah, that's me. I'm a techno beat kind of guy.
I can see you in the Sunbury Motor Studio getting down to that.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of phrasing it.
By the way, I should mention that tomorrow, when the Sunbury Motors studio goes mobile to the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, we will likely be indoors instead of out on the patio because of the chance of inclement weather. So just want to pass that along.
No guts, no glory.
I melt in the rain, okay?
That's a sad.
And there's an awful lot. Listen, when I'm wearing electronic things on my head, I don't want to be sitting in the rain. I know, call me strange, but it just makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
You know, wearing a headset is not equivalent to sitting there with a lightning rod on.
I'm not taking any chances.
No, we're willing to take chances with you.
And that's why I want to be inside. Thanks.
Okay. Well, if you want to, I'm doing the caravan thing tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to.
That's the one up in Dunmore, isn't it?
Dixon City, yeah.
Oh, sorry. What is that, across the street?
No, it's a few miles away. Okay. I'm going to be in Mifflinburg tomorrow playing golf.
It's okay. It's not that far away.
Dunmore to Dixon City is, it's like Sunbury to Selinsgrove Grove.
Really? No.
Yeah.
Where are you at in Dixon City?
Where am I at? Genetics matter.
Yeah. All right. Dunmore. Maybe you're right.
Okay, Dunmore is exit 184.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, Dixon City's exit 190. You do the math.
I love doing a program with somebody who has a photographic memory.
Drinker Street in Dunmore is exit 184. Main Street for Dixon City's exit 190. It's 6 miles.
What's the Casey Highway exit?
The Casey Highway exit?
Yeah.
You mean the Central Expressway?
No, the Casey Highways in Dunmore goes the other way off of 380 and 81.
Oh, I have no clue.
Ah, I finally caught one.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve in the Sunbury Motors Studio today. Tomorrow, yes, Sunbury Motors Studio goes mobile.
Get this.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Forever, the Final Four, right, has been on CBS, correct?
Yes.
Now, they're involved in this 14-year deal with CBS, TBS, and TNT.
Right.
Starting next year, TBS takes over the Final Four.
Yeah, they'll split.
2 years early. 2 years early, they're taking over the Final Four. Now, this brings with it some interesting possibilities. Does Jim Nantz still do the Final Four?
Well, I think so, because I thought about this today when I read that. I think that'll happen because they're sharing everything anyway.
I understand that.
I mean, look at
okay. In a tweak to the original agreement, because this is different, by the way. They were not supposed to take over the Final Four until 2016, you know. In a tweak to the original agreement, when they partnered together in the new 14-year broadcast deal for the NCAA tournament, CBS and Turner announced today that the 2014 and 15 national semifinals would be aired on TBS rather than CBS. And CBS will still do the final. Originally, all three games of the Final Four were supposed to be shown on CBS in those 2 years before they moved to TBS in 2016 and then alternated, as Kevin said, every year through 2024. Now TBS has exercised an option in the contract to get involved in the Final Four 2 years earlier. As part of the process, CBS is being allowed to retain the championship game for the next two seasons as what executives involved term a, quote, transition. We both win in this scenario, said CBS Sports Chairman Sean McManus. Really, Sean? Really? TBS also will now be involved in coverage of the regional finals. Previously, CBS televised all four of them. The reaction to the news, at least on Twitter, always a reliable source. I can see you laughing right now.
I am.
Another sports institution gets moved to a cable channel, and the cable channel is not ESPN. Now, that goes back to something I talked about a while ago. In now, what is now the 30, ESPN will turn 34 in September. As the single most profitable entity of the Disney Corporation. By far, it is the single most profitable arm of the Disney Corporation.
That includes Disney World and everything?
Everything.
Wow.
It has been the single most profitable arm of the Disney Corporation for a long time. Touchstone Pictures, Disney World, Disneyland, you name it. ABC. Yet, despite huge coffers, because the advertising's through the roof, and it is the single most expensive channel on your cable system, whether you live in Sunbury or San Francisco, because people absolutely have to have it on there. They took it off. What would the reaction be if they took it off here? I'm sorry, we can't afford to carry that. You know, people would be running out and buying dishes. ESPN, despite all of that, does not have a single Major League Baseball playoff game, does not have a single NFL playoff game, does not have a single Stanley Cup playoff game, does not have a single game in the NCAA basketball tournament. It does have the BCS, which will transition to the college football playoff. They have that, and it's locked up for a dozen years. And they do have the, I believe they have the Western Conference final of the NBA. But they do not have the final. That's on ABC. It's their group, but it's still ABC. I find that remarkable. They do not have the final two rounds of any golf tournament anywhere. They don't have the final two rounds of the Masters, final two rounds of the U.S. Open, final two rounds. They don't have the PGA, period. Okay? They don't have any of that. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, I do and I don't. I mean, the reason I say, yeah, it's interesting, but no, it's not, is because CBS has tried to hang on to anything where they have leverage so they don't lose it. And I think they've been, you know, and the NCAA tournament is one of those things, along with the Masters, because they've had them for so long, they can't afford to lose them.
Kevin, TBS and Fox have the baseball postseason.
Right.
Okay, NBC, CBS, and Fox have the NFL postseason. CBS and TBS both have the NCAA basketball tournament. Okay, NBC and its satellites have the Stanley Cup playoffs. And TBS, TNT, okay, TNT, that version of Turner, has one of the conference finals, I believe they have the Eastern Conference final, and the NBA playoffs. I mean, TBS TNT, which has decided they want to become a major, major player, has the Major League Baseball playoffs, a part of them, has now the NCAA basketball tournament and the NBA playoffs. They have more meaningful games on there than they do on ESPN.
Yeah, I didn't think of, I forgot about the NBA being on TBS, TNT and TBS as well.
They've been there long, for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how, I mean, they have always bid, and they've bid big numbers each time. I mean, ESPN has. And I think part of the reason is that when you're the single most profitable arm of something, not all the money goes back into what you're doing. Profits from ESPN go to help sustain Touchstone Pictures. Profits from ESPN go to sustain Euro Disney. Don't they have an Asia? Don't they have an Asia Disney in China?
Tokyo, I thought there was one.
Tokyo, I mean, yeah, which it's not making any money.
But isn't also another view of it, another side of that, maybe that ESPN feels they can make more on the college sports side than they can on the professional sports? Because if you think about it, they have a lot of college football and an awful lot of college basketball.
What do you think the NCAA tournament is?
With the exception of the NCAA tournament.
Okay. I want to tell you something. Okay. Now listen closely on this part. All right.
Uh-huh.
The NCAA tournament ratings were up this year.
Yes.
Sevens and eights, and the final four was 14s and 17s. Okay. ESPN game, I think it was on, it may have been on, now I think CBS carried that. We had a 1.1 rating. The Guild of New Mexico Bowl on ESPN actually outrated it.
There were people watching that?
The ratings on ESPN's bowl games, for all the fun people make of it, are really good.
Well, it has to be good. I mean, college sports for them has to be good, or they wouldn't dedicate an entire network to it. I mean, they have ESPNU for that reason.
Yeah, but ESPNU is a very, it's not a, doesn't make a lot of money, and it does not in as many homes as it needs to be. Okay, now, let's get back to this, okay? The reaction to the news on Twitter, another institution gets moved to cable, and that cable is not ESPN. But that reaction is probably misguided. As of last summer, TBS is actually available in more homes than ESPN.
Now that is a stat that I would not have guessed at all.
And they've done a great job with the tournament the last 2 years. Okay. Now, this also could mean a shakeup of the Final Four broadcast teams.
I can't imagine that.
Marv Albert or Kevin Harlan could do play-by-play instead of Jim Nance.
I mean, I understand, and you're right, that is their A-team. There's no question about that. But the way that they've shared everything over the last couple of years of this deal, especially studio announcers, I don't see them making that kind of a change.
I don't think so either, but we'll see. Ratings for 2013, among the strongest over a decade. First weekend drew an average of 5.8. Second weekend averaged over a 7. For a viewer, the experience won't really change. If you're a basketball fan, college or pro, you know where TBS is on the dial.
You probably know where True TV is now.
Yeah, hardcore pawn.
You didn't even know that network existed until a couple of years ago.
No, I really didn't.
Nobody did. I mean, no sports fan really did. I mean, let's be honest.
No, I just know that during the tournament for 2 weeks, I watch it. I know the other 50 weeks, I don't know it exists.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, simple as that.
But changing the announcers, changing the broadcasters on that final game, or at least taking Jim Nance out of it, would almost be like changing the music. It would be almost like changing the theme music.
Well, we'll see what they want to do with it, but they have it now. They have it. You know, it's...
I do like how McManus was trying to spin it as a positive.
That's no positive.
Our partnership with Turner Sports has exceeded every one of our expectations.
Well, to be honest with you, I think it has. Now, that part, I agree with that. Because every game is on TV now. We can find it in its entirety. I mean, instead of being forced to watch a game you don't want to watch, because I would spend time on NCAA.com finding the game I wanted.
Well, remember when they first came out with that app? That was a great thing to have because you could watch any game except the one that was being broadcast in your market.
Right.
Now the need for that even is minimized because of all the games being carried.
Right.
And bandwidth around the country has been very happy. Not only are the first 2 days of the tournament one of the least productive in the country for workers, but it also sucked up an awful lot of bandwidth in the office, too.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I love McManus's comment, though. He said, today's news represents another win-win agreement. I'm not sure there's a double win there.
Not for CBS. No. I don't see a win there at all.
No. I it's not a double win there.
Right. Yep. You know, it's we'll see how it plays. I mean, you know, like I said, people know where TBS is, so it's not a. You know, this isn't the old days when Ted Turner owned the Braves and he made Andy Messersmith wear 17 and his nickname channel on the back. I always thought that was a riot. Major League Baseball saw that and went, what? Exploded and went through the roof. You did what? That's his nickname, channel. Channel 17.
Now, dumbest television sports deal in history, the Baseball Network.
Yeah, but that's a forerunner to the MLB Network now, okay?
No, but the Baseball Network carried playoff games at the same time.
Right, I know.
And you only got the chance to watch maybe the one that was closest to you. That was the dumbest idea ever. I mean, it was great for radio because I remember we were running Major League Baseball and WKOK at that point, and we picked the game that wasn't on TV.
Well, I would think that the individual that decided not to round off the wheel, that probably was a dumber decision.
Not by much.
So, I mean, there are a few other decisions I could think that were dumber.
I don't know.
There's some in the last few months I can think were dumber. dumbest decision ever.
Dumbest? I mean, I said dumbest sports television decision ever.
I don't know. My mother, the car wasn't a good one. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jerry Van Dyke, baby.
I don't know. I still don't know if it's the dumbest thing in television. Not quite sure about that yet.
Well, there was a show that Mel Brooks had about Robin Hood that was on CBS. And I want to say it was in the 70s. Called When Things Were Rotten. It was about Robin Hood. And the show was entitled When Things Were Rotten. Mel Brooks was the producer. And they asked Mel Brooks one time, why did you call it that? He says, no electricity, no running water, no car. He says, God, things were rotten.
When things were rotten, not just food, but also cage. Rotten, everybody.
I think Dick Gaudier played Robin Hood, if I recall correctly. So
I don't know. The only one, yeah, you're right. That is exactly right. I just happened to see it come up there on the open.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well done. Well done. You don't realize that the Janet is in Dixon City, but, you know.
It is in Dixon City. I told you that. What did I tell you? I said it was in Dixon City. What the...
I thought I got it by you.
I told you right away it was in Dixon City. You said it was in Dunmore.
It's just a little bit north of Dunmore. It's actually
miles.
It's actually on Maine, right between Dunmore and Dixon City. So I'll share 50%.
It's on 1550 Main Street. I've done this thing 14 years in a row. I know where it is. Okay.
And you'll be there tomorrow night.
And I'll be there tomorrow night with Bill O'Brien, Patrick Chambers, and Mark Pavlik.
So it's a busy day for you. It's golf in the morning.
Yes, which I'm really looking forward to. I love, you know, and we ought to pick a day. Let's pick a day where I come in. We just play the country club, and then we just go over to the station and do the show.
Okay. Listen, you never have to ask me twice to play a round of golf.
I know it's supposed to rain a little bit tomorrow. Okay, I got it. That's fine.
And you know what? Just for you, I'm going to go to the driving range tonight. Because I read up a couple of tips to get rid of my slice. Look out now.
Do the people at Ducks Unlimited know?
I don't know. I don't believe so.
We're going to talk to John Schaefer, by the way, the play-by-play voice of the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, later in the week. Okay? To talk about some of the prospects that the Phillies have at the AAA level.
There's some pitchers.
Some pitchers, but also some other guys that I really like. I like Darren Ruff. I like Cesar Hernandez. Hernandez, good second baseman. Hernandez, I think, has a chance to be a 10-year guy in the majors.
How many guys are in Lehigh Valley or Reading right now that you saw play up in Williamsport?
Well, I'll just speak to Lehigh Valley. I think 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a surprisingly high number, I thought.
Cody Askey, who, by the way, I did not think was going to be a double-A prospect, let alone being in triple-A now. Did not. When I saw him at Williamsport, I was like, I'm not so sure about this thing. You know, now Darren Ruff, I watched the Cesar Hernandez and the Darren Ruff, and I'll tell you exactly what I thought right away. Boom, upward mobility. Leandro Castro thought the same thing, but I looked at Cody Askey and did not. And Askey's at AAA now and doing well. Just depends.
Go find your 5-iron.
Tomorrow, the first of our 50-part series on what's wrong with the Phillies.